Oh my God, we are back on the air. It's been a week, and I'm already forgetting. My name's Mal. With me, as always,
Dr. Morbius.
From Parts Unknown, and this is the Radio St. Pete exclusive Asian Cult Cinema.
Don't forget, this is unlike our other shows, like Slow Robot.
No swearing whatsoever.
And no swearing whatsoever. This is
Slow Robot
PG
and
PG.
What other movie? What other ones do we do?
Well, Indie Circuit. I do Two Dimension.
Two Dimension podcast.
Yeah. Indie Circuit. No bad words. Two Dimension. Don King Don has me like on a. He makes it keep it clean. He doesn't want to put a disclaimer. So
really.
Yeah, yeah, he polices it with an iron hand.
Wow, I'm sorry, man.
Yeah, it's okay. I let a few loose one time, and he was like, you know, don't
really,
do that.
I don't really appreciate you saying swear words. You'd be like, man.
I got to put like a, you know, like a adults only tag on or whatever. I go, sorry.
Like, hey, Don, have you listened to the ones that are like sandwiching us on that bunch of dorks?
Those are wrong. And all. Anyway, so... Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Oh boy, I'm totally off topic, but I got a package from Japan.
Oh,
Japan Night.
Oh yeah, Audrey Benton.
Yeah, Audrey Benton Records sent me all these CDs.
Awesome.
And and like the band like sheets and all that kind of stuff, like talking about the bands and everything like that. So
Indie Circuit has a lot of material.
Indie Circuit's gonna be crazy for Japan Night for the next couple of weeks.
I thought you might have gotten back on Jack White's.
I learned my lesson, and also with outsourcing and whatnot, I doubt I'll be getting those ever again. Thanks, corporate America.
Thanks,
so sad.
Thanks, India.
Yeah. Yes.
Anyway.
Oh, buzzkill. Yeah. So anyway, what are we? You chose this week's movie, and boy, did you choose a good one. What did you choose for us to talk about on Asian Cult Cinema this week?
You know, I was going to choose The Return of the Street Fighter, but I couldn't find a nice copy.
Mm.
So I chose The Street Fighter's Last...
Last Revenge.
Last Revenge, yes.
Was this the last in the whole series?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, I thought so.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah. Well, maybe Street Fighter came after this. I don't know. But this is the last one, I think, where he played Terry...
Terry...
Tsurugi. Yeah, Suguri.
Suguri, that's it. Terry Suguri.
Who's now James Bond.
Yes. And also my second favorite.
And Dracula.
And what?
Don't you remember that one scene he puts on the vampire?
Why did he do that?
I don't know. This is a
That was a weird one. That was a weird part of that one. I was like, because then the girl freaked out. And of course, Riko Ike. Oh, she's one of my favorites.
Is she Sex and Fury?
Sex and Fury.
Was she like the main bad girl in the movie?
She was the one that jumps out of the snow and hacks people up and nude.
No, but I mean, in this one, she's the one
she's the one at the very end.
She's the one that got naked.
Aya.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I
have all her stuff.
Sure you do.
That's that box set of Pinky Violence. Because that's what she kind of like was famous for.
Oh, okay.
She was the Pinky Violence.
I didn't know. She Gorilla was the cover girl. Yeah.
She was the one. Man, she was like, there she is.
Why is it called Pinky Violence?
Oh, that's Japan.
Okay.
You know. That's all you can say. Just Japan, you know. And so, yeah. So it has the Street Fighter's Last Revenge. And, you know, young... Virile weightlifting Sonny Chiba is Chiba-san is really he was Japan's Clint Eastwood.
He's a Japanese Bruce Lee.
Kinda.
Yeah.
He was a mixture of like Bruce Lee but with a lot of Clint Eastwood.
He had a little more humor though.
A little bit. But I mean he was a rough guy. He was really for that time for Japan, he was a big like a strong guy.
Yeah.
You know, he kinda had a big presence. He was powerful,
fine martial artist, jumped around, you know, beat people.
I mean,
up.
He started out with like, what is that, Men from Neptune? Or
Invasion of Neptune, man.
Yeah, Invasion of Neptune. He was Prince of
Terror
Space.
Terror Beneath the Sea, Prince of Space.
He was Prince of Space. So he was always an actor, but I think at some point he transitioned
70s.
Into like action. Weightlifting, action. He knew he had to like kind of be bigger and tougher. And these really, the Street Fighter series, if I could find... A Blu-ray box set of these, I would buy it.
I think there is, but it's a subtitled. There's a nice box set of it, but it's subtitled. I mean, which is probably good enough.
I guess, yeah.
The dubbing on this movie is kind of off a little bit.
And also, they wouldn't have done things like cut out the heart punch
scene and stuff like that.
They added these in an odd way.
And it's funny because the first one we watched, the Street Fighter, was not edited. I mean, that was rated X.
That's a nasty
movie. That was rated X. We did this one earlier on this mm-hmm. show, and it was rough. It was rated X in the theaters. They rip out guys' parts and you know, do all sorts of nasty stuff.
Street Fighter is kind of known, the Street Fighter is kind of known for being like a really nasty series. He is not a nice guy. He's dealing with the worst people in the world, and they're scared of him. Or they should be. Yeah. And mostly, like this one today, the plot takes a twist when they try to double-cross him, and at some point, I would swear that they'd go, hey, you know what? We can call the Street Fighter, but don't double-cross him or he'll murder you. Like, even the big crime boss guys would be like, nah, just pay him. I don't feel like dying.
Don't pay him in newspapers.
Yeah. Let's not double-cross him, and then we won't be murdered. I swear that would have been over. That would have been the street. That would have been on the street. Like, you would know if you hire that guy, he's your last resort guy. That's it.
So he's like a mercenary.
he always plays both sides. Like, the whole Street Fighter series, I remember the one time, I think I might have told this the last time we watched the Street Fighter movie, was... I just moved to Florida. It was the 90s, 93, this would have been 94, 1994, and they put on a Street Fighter marathon, and I literally went from tape to tape and they would even end, I just taped.
On local TV?
Yeah. Yeah, and I literally taped like 4 tapes worth, and I just would put the next one in and hit record.
Wow.
And it was just, that's how I watched them for a while, and I mean, they were edited, and they were bad, and just, you know, terrible, but... If you love them, you love them. These movies are kind of, they have a very certain style to them.
In your opinion, besides the actors, do you see there's a pretty big difference between Japanese martial arts movies and Chinese ones?
Yes.
The Japanese ones are, from what I've seen, the little that I've seen, are mostly crime movies.
They always deal with the Yakuza or some type of crime thing, crime syndicate. And I've talked about this a little bit. Basically, I think it's a reflection of the cultures, too, because Japanese martial arts movies and in real life, kind of, they're very straight to the point.
Yeah.
There's nothing fancy about them. There's nothing pretty about them. They're very down and dirty.
Right, Kung Father that we did.
Yeah, they are nasty. And they're nasty, like, to the point of, I don't want to have any part of it. You know, that's the biggest deterrent is, I don't want to do this, you know. Where a lot of the kung fu and the chop suey stuff was always very flowery and always trying to one-up each other with the wackiness or the styling or whatever, you know.
Or the off-the-wall humor.
And it was always like, I want to protect the village.
Or I hate Japan.
Yep, China was always, they tried to use it to showcase how good they were, how saving heritage, saving their village, saving the elders, saving something where Japan was like, nah. They wanted to kind of go with the crime stuff or the noir stuff, you know.
Pretty much.
I think the noir
movies
really influenced, especially, what's the top guy? Kurosawa.
And I thought Kurosawa was mostly like, samurai movies.
Some samurai, some swordplay, and also lots of drama and stuff like that. But I mean, like, the lending the noir.
Okay.
That's what I meant. And he was so revered, that influence carried over into other people doing other things. I'm not saying Kurosawa influenced Street Fighter, but all of Japanese cinema kind of lends, just how all of our cinema lends to each other, you know, especially the top guys, you know. So he had that noir element and the swordplay, obviously. The samurai lore is very like Western stuff where they try to minimize talking and over exuberant the quiet guy who walks into town and mows everyone down.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, the Clint Eastwood.
Because it has that power.
Jimbo was what Clint Eastwood that Leone took. So it's
it's one of those things where you're like, this is awesome because it's just you don't even have to write it. All right, we're gonna take a quick break and then we'll come back and we'll get into the actual movie.
All right.
Johnny, what can you make out of this?
This? Well, I can make a cap, or a brooch, or a pterodactyl. Hey guys, come check out Two Dimension Comics, the comic book podcast with no direction.
We feature candid roundtable discussions about all things comics, past and present, with a killer soundtrack.
We like to include visuals of everything we talk about on the show. You can find that by going to bunchofdorks.com
and click on the Cyclops!
We saw somebody murdered!
Some sort of ritual across the river. A girl got stabbed.
Two men witness an unspeakable evil and get trapped in an unbelievable nightmare. 20th Century Fox presents Race with the Devil, starring Peter Fonda and Warren Oates.
They're trying to screw with our brains. So what are we going to do about it?
There was nowhere they could hide.
They've seen us.
There was no one they could trust.
Did anybody hear anything? Didn't anybody see anything?
There was nothing they could do but run and fight and race with the devil. When you race with the devil, you'd better be faster than hell. Peter Fonda and Warren Oates in Race with the Devil. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
All right, sweethearts, what are you waiting for? Breakfast in bed? Another glorious day in the Corps. Day in the Marine Corps is like a day on the farm. Every meal is a banquet. Every paycheck a fortune. Every formation a parade. I love the Corps!
Okay, so along with that, make sure... Two Dimension Podcast, of course, is the Dr. Morbius' podcast.
Comic book
podcast. But while you're at Bunch of Dorks, make sure you're checking out Slow Robot A-Go-Go. That's the B-movie review show we do every week. We love it.
Unedited.
They're a little bit cursier, but, you know, lots of B-movie goodness. We're up at 260 shows.
Yeah.
Wow. Crazy. It's a lot of show.
Crazy.
And then, and then also check out my show, The Indie Circuit, which is another show here on Radio St. Pete. Okay, that's our shtick, I promise. That's the end of it.
Yeah,
now on to...
Is that what we have? Okay.
Yeah, no, we'll hear more, but...
We haven't come up with anything else yet. Yeah.
So, now on to Sonny Chiba. Now, this movie, we're not going to be able to go shot for shot.
It's convoluted plot.
It's a little convoluted with who has what and who's double-crossing who. We'll hit the main points.
There's these two cassette tapes, and if you put the two of them together...
No, you're jumping the gun.
Okay.
First, there was a gang... orchestrated a labor strike to cause confusion to steal a briefcase from a guy. And you're like, wait, what are we talking? That's on voiceover before we even get started. And you're like, huh? So now they're showing this labor dispute. And then, like, gunfire starts. And then people take hostages and they're in this thing. And you're like, what am I watching here? And Sonny Chiba gets a call from some bad guy number one, Yakuza boss number one, and says, oh, go get him, and $50,000, and it's yours, okay? He turns his phone sideways and opens the door.
He has like a backflip, doesn't he?
Yeah, he has like a bat cave where he has...
James Bond.
Yeah, he has James Bond. He has fake faces, and he has like all his weaponry and stuff, you know. But it's a hidden thing. If you turn his phone sideways, you can get into it.
That fake face thing was like the first Mission Impossible movie with Tom Cruise. It's like everybody pulled their face off.
And he's... Everyone, I think he's had it. Now, maybe not in the first one.
I don't think in the first one.
Yeah, they got wackier as the series went on. You know,
sure they did.
they were trying to up the violence, just like what we were talking about last week with on Slow Robot. You were saying about the I wish I was dead. Death wish.
Every death wish.
Each death wish got more deathier and wishier.
And wishier.
Charles Bronson, here
and
to kill you.
Cheesier, yeah.
Yep, and cheesier. So it's the same thing. You know, they got to keep up in the game. So he's like, okay. So he goes, breaks in. He pretends he's a cop, breaks in, gets the guy. He kicks the guy. He, like, takes him out and, like, drags him out, you know. And that's the style of this. That's why I like these movies so much. He's so rough.
Yeah.
There's not one kind bone in this guy's body. He's just nasty.
Yeah.
If the guy you send to get, probably going to get knocked out. But after you give him money, you're probably going to get knocked out. You know, like, he just is a rough guy. So then he takes him there. And then, the bad guys double cross him. And you're like...
With newspaper.
Newspaper money. So they do the switch where they give... It's like basically they give the slide the briefcases across. Like, they don't think he's going to check it. You know, and again... I'm pretty sure if you're the Yakuza, you're like, look, you can call in Terry. don't double cross him or he'll kill you. Like, it's the same thing, but whatever. So, like you said, there wouldn't be a movie then.
Yeah, that would have been the end.
So, it's a double cross. He jumps across the top of the car, takes out like five or six guys, just kills them. And then a kung fu girl jumps in there and goes, ha! And she starts going at him. And he beats her up, but she's holding her own, but then he's like, eh. Then he kind of slaps her around a little bit, gets behind her and chokes her out.
Yeah.
And then, but they leave with the tape.
Yeah.
And then flash forward, now you're in the Yakuza's boss's place, and he's like, oh, I'll give you millions of dollars for this tape. And he's like, how do I know it's real? And they play it, and he's like, this is tape A. You must sync it at the beep with tape B, and we found a way to make fake heroin for a nickel for 200 billion pounds.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, now, let's back up a second. You have this formula that's going to make heroin, 20 pounds of heroin for a nickel. Why would you have ripped off the Street Fighter? 50,000 yen or $50,000. Why? That's pittance. That is nothing.
Because if they did that, then we wouldn't have a movie.
Oh, sorry. It defies logic, though. I mean, yeah. Oh, there's two tapes. They're going to make us billions of dollars. I don't know if I want to pay that $5 parking ticket. Just leave. You know. Anyway, it doesn't matter. So now, Enrico Ike is playing...
She's like a gangster.
The lovely Aya. She's hanging out with the gangsters. And the other girl hangs out with the DA. What's Kung Fu Girl's name? Oh, my God.
Oh, not Riko Ike. Yeah, because there's a DA involved, too. They're investigating.
Yeah, the DA. And the Kung Fu Girl is the DA's, like, second in command, you know.
Yeah.
And we find out that the DA is just as crooked as the Yakuza. So the DA is, like, kind of pushing. He wants to steal the tapes because he knows what's on them.
Yeah.
Everyone wants the tapes. The bad guy, the Yakuza's, want the tape. They have the tape. And they're selling it to crime boss number who cares. And then, like, so they give him the tape, but then, like, the whole time Riko Ike is playing the long con, kind of.
Yeah, she's actually trying to pit everybody against each other.
Yeah.
To get the tape, because she wants to, like, you know,
she wants both of them and then get all the money. Like, these are very simplistic plots with lots of twists and turns convolution. Like, the reality of it is, Street Fighter should have been paid to do a job. Get a guy, get the tapes, give the tapes to the Yakuza. Yakuza sells them, everyone wins. But reality of it is, like, all the bad guys can't do anything without being bad, you know.
Yeah.
So anyway, so now the DA is after them, the tapes, and, like, the boss, the DA's boss is like, oh, you gotta, like, you have a week to do this or you're fired. Like, they're leaning on him really hard, and he's like, I'll do my best, sir. And all the way out, he's like, no, I'm gonna just steal it myself, you know.
Yeah.
And then take Aya, because Riko Ike is playing everyone. Like, Aya's playing the mob boss, being, oh, yeah, which is her brother. That's right. Mob boss is the brother, is her brother. That's what it is.
I missed that part.
And then the DA is just, like, some guy she's playing, looking at the cat's paw underneath the door.
Oh,
like,
my God, look at,
like,
that.
He's like, let me in.
It's not stuck there, is it?
No, it's not. He's all right.
It's funny.
Maybe he's not. Funny. Yeah, let's get a little tweak. Hold on. Good news, everyone. The cat is okay. So this is what happens, because after that thing, I think Sonny Chiba has one of the tapes. There's A and B. He has B, and the Yakuza has A. So everyone knows he has part of this formula now. So he has the upper hand. So, because he grabbed it, the case fell open, and like, I think he grabbed one, but the other guy had the other one.
Movie, yeah.
So, now I'm trying to think what happens. So, then the bad guy's like, how are we going to get the Street Fighter, because he's going to kill us now, because we didn't get him, and he has one of our tapes, and then they're watching this TV show, for no reason, this TV show.
Oh, yeah, this Mexican, like, superhero guy with a big old... mariachi hat.
Oh, my God.
And he's breaking chains or whatever. And Riko Ike goes, oh, he's so strong. We need to get
him. Let's use him. Man, to kill everyone. To kill Street Fighter. And they're like, good idea. And you're like, what? Okay, whatever. Then this girl who's playing Money Penny is calling Shiba. And she's like, oh, meet me at this bar for a dance. And then he puts on fake teeth.
Yeah, that was weird because he's dancing with her. And then I guess he wants to get rid of her. So he grabs some vampire fangs and he scares the crap out of her.
And she runs away.
Comedy?
I don't know. Yeah, weird. And then that's when Aya shows up, Rika, Ike. And then she's like, oh, let's go have sex. And he's like, good idea. All right, let's go take a trailer break, and then we come back, and we'll wrap this movie up.
This convoluted kung fu
classic. Greatness.
Minnie loves chocolate. Scotty do.
Well, I like chocolate fine. I just...
Scotty do.
Yeah, well, yeah, this is very familiar. Hang on, let me do what I do. Would you stop?
How about it, Owen?
How about a what?
How about it, Owen?
What are you...
How about it, Owen?
I don't even...
How about it, Owen?
Honestly, isn't this...
How about you do, ladies and gentlemen, Scotty do.
He, more hideous than Jack the Ripper. She, bloodier than Bluebeard. No one is safe in The Teenage Psycho Meets Bloody Mary, filmed in sensational Bloody Vision. Movie monsters come alive and go into the audience. You are suddenly surrounded by monsters. You become a party to the horror in The Teenage Psycho Meets Bloody Mary, starring Cash Flagg in bloody color.
Now I swear, the next one of you primates even touches me. Yeah!
And we're back, and that was Teenage Psycho Meets Bloody Mary.
That's a Steckler.
Oh my god, of course it's Steckler. A Steckler movie. Our pal Steckler. And if you listen to this, the Slow Robot of Go-Go Endeavors, you know we love Steckler. Anyway, back to our show. So now he's with Sonny Chiba's with Rico Ike, and someone... He gets a phone call, and the DA, the crooked DA, is like, hey, I have your money, Penny, and if you don't bring me tape B, I'm going to kill her. He's like, dang. He's like,
and
darn it.
They're an amusement park or something.
Yeah, and right? And people like kind of break in at the same time, but then he beats them up and leaves. He beats up the bad guys that break into the thing, one of which was the Mexican guy.
This
made me laugh because he the Mexican guy like broke a chain by using a laser in his hands. And Sonny Chiba rips open the shirt after he beats him up. And he goes like, oh, so that's how it is. And there's like an apparatus on his ribs. And he takes the thing off and he smashes it over another guy's head and leaves. And like leaves a naked Rico Ike there. He's like, well, see ya. So then he goes there and he gives tape B to the crooked DA. And he grabs the girl kind of. But then he's like, well, I'm not, this isn't going to stand. So he goes to fight him, and then the DA does this weird, like, caw-caw thing with his hands, and he's doing all these weird motions, and he beats up Street Fighter, and you're like, wait, what's going on now? And Sheba's like, get back here, but he falls back into the water. Like, so this guy beat up Sonny Chiba.
That was a weird thing, because I didn't think, like, I thought Chiba was going to come back and continue the fight, but he's like, takes off, and I'm like, oh, that was weird.
So now Sheba goes to his...
In the first movie, his master.
Yeah, his master. And I've seen that. That guy is really a mean guy.
Oh, yeah?
Like, in real life, he is, like, ninth degree Don.
Because he's, like, a chunky little
he's
guy.
He's a heavy little dude, but he beats up everybody.
Wow.
I think in real life. So, everyone. He beat up the whole world. So, anyway.
Didn't know that.
Exactly.
Too bad he's not, right?
I mean, he's one of those guys that, like you're saying, like, he's real short and stocky, but no one, I mean, he's known for being bad.
Okay.
So she was like, how do I beat this technique? And he kind of showed me, he's like, well, you can beat it, but he's like, you have to work on your spirituality. And she was like, ah, shut up. He's like, no. And then he says, come on. He tries to fight him, and the master beats up Sheba. He's like, see? Without spirituality, I can't get through your thick head. You ain't never going to win. So Sheba kind of takes that to heart, but they don't really delve into that.
No, they just gloss over and go back to the plot.
And these movies don't do that. Like, you assume he addressed it on his own, like, but they don't really, like, talk about it very much, you know. So anyway, now, this is like the double cross, because the girl gets the tape from the DA, Rico Ike, she's playing both sides, and she gives it to the crime boss, which is her brother.
With her brother, yeah.
And he sells it to the guy, but then, like, I forget, they get double-crossed. No. They sell it to the guys, and they get these big suitcases full of cash. And then what happens is Sheba is faking to be a cop and pulls them over and, like, beats them up. Am I missing something?
No, I think you're right.
He pulls them over and he beats them all up and he steals, or he sends them back. He sends the guy back beaten up, like barely alive, and kind of saying, well, go tell them that I have the money and all that kind of stuff. And so that, he took the money, and that's
Rico
when...
Ike comes back with him.
Yeah, Ike comes back with him, and she's like, oh, you have money. Well, okay, and then he's in this place, and all he gets jumped by that Mexican guy again, and this is crazy, because this is like a funeral home, and he kicks him into a... He kicks him into a coffin and then kicks it into the oven and burns the guy alive. Like,
yeah.
I was like, wow. And then he slaps her around a little bit and he's like, okay, well, let's go have sex again. And then they're sitting there and having sex and he's like, you better not fool me a third time or something like that. Like, kind of warning her.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, I would never do that. Bat her eyes. Here's my boobs. Then that's the end of that. So while they're having sex, you see someone steal the two cases full of money.
And then a guy in the machine gun walks in, right? Yeah. Starts shooting.
He starts shooting, and Sheba does that sideways stand thing, which he mimics from Bruce Lee.
Oh, yeah, right.
And he hops around, and he hides. And that's when he's like, again with Riko Ike. She's always double-crossing me, and I'm always falling for it for some reason.
Yeah, because I need
I think we know the reason.
We know the reason why.
There's a few reasons.
Yeah.
Anyway, so now, like... So... Now she has the money, and it's the DA is the guy who stole the money. So she's with the DA, and they're going to the boat. And there's a boat, and they're going to get away, and they have fake passports. That was a scene earlier where they got fake passports. I forgot that. So now they're like, okay. And the rainstorm hits, and they're like, well, the boat captain says we can't leave now. We have to wait till the morning. And they're sitting there, and they're like, well, Sonny Sheba's going to show up, which he does.
For fighting, to
kill the DA, get the money back, and steal the girl back. And this is the funniest part of this movie where, well, there's a lot of funny parts. He goes up, and the boat, all the guys on the boat that are like the captain and securing the boat and all that stuff, like, the DA's like kind of sidekicks or whatever, they're like, hey, it's Terry, get him. And I was like, you know what a boat captain isn't going to say? Hey, let's go fight the deadliest man in Japan. They're going to go, huh, do you want this boat? Because if you want me to take it out, I will. We kind of go, whoever is there now is what that crew would be like, hey, you're the number one boss, because they're not going to fight Sonny Sheba.
Yeah, right.
They're no loyalty. They're a freaking boat captain. What do they care? But so they get beat up, and then he kind of kicks the door, and he's like, now I'm really angry, you know. So he's fighting the DA, and this one goes like...
The DA kind of beats him again.
A little bit, but then falls down some mountains. Like, he starts running. This is another one of those that goes
way too long. Then they end up, like, at the docks or whatever.
And it's, like, daytime. And you're like, how long was this fight? You know.
Hours.
Yeah, apparently. And that's when he does that caw thing again, but Sonny Sheba kills him.
Well, what happened, I think, was the guy actually... thought he had knocked out Sheba, and Sheba was lying there
playing
on the
possum.
Ground, playing possum, and all of a sudden the guy does, like, he's going to jump on him and do, like, a move to kill him, and then Sheba just raises his legs up or his hands up, and they impales
crushes
the guy
him.
Kind of.
Yeah, he, like, kills him, and you're like, he knew what was his finishing move and then, like, used it against him. Because Sheba's laying there like, oh, I'm sure I'm dead now, you know, and then the guy jumped on him, he crushed him. Very good end scene.
So but then the girl...
I was going to say, he throws him into the water, and he stands up, and then, earlier, before he went in to beat up all the boat henchmen, he put a bomb in that mobster's car.
Yeah.
And then, like, then he's standing there, and he gets up, and he looks over, and there's Riko Ike, and she shoots him right in the shoulder, aiming for the heart,
knocks
but
him in the water.
Hits him in the shoulder, and he falls in. And he's like, and she's like, I never loved you, Terry. I've been playing you the whole time, long con. A little bit of sadness in her voice, which maybe she's lying, whatever. She just wants money. And he's like, still loves her. You can tell he cares for her because he's like, don't. He's sitting there bleeding out of his shoulder. He's like, don't start the car. There's a bomb. And she either doesn't hear it or doesn't care, thinks he's lying. Kaboom.
The end.
And that's how most of these end.
Yeah.
Most of these end with Sonny Sheba not getting the money.
Or the girl,
and just kind of,
like,
whatever.
Okay, next movie. And this is the last one of the Street Fighter.
I'm glad.
He wasn't Sister Street Fighter, though, but...
Oh, he was?
I'm pretty sure he acted in it, but I don't know if that one came before or after. I'm not sure
I thought they ran concurrently, but I could be wrong. I love these, like I said before, I love these movies. I think they're a lot of fun. I really, really enjoy... I kind of admire Sonny Sheba quite a bit for his acting. And I mean, you might not think he's a good actor, Kill Billy was great. Every movie I see him in, he is good. He definitely brings it all.
He has a presence.
Yeah. I mean, he's not the greatest actor in the world or anything like that, but I really like him. I think very highly of him, much like I think highly of Clint Eastwood, Charles Bronson. The list of my, you know, screen heroes is very machismo, you know.
Ray Dennis Steckler.
Don't talk a lot, kill a lot of people, and you're on my list for I Love You.
Yeah, right.
You know, so, not love you, I love your acting, sorry.
Yeah.
You know. Whoops. But, of course I love this movie. And it was a kind of a mess. There was a lot of stuff going on.
It was really confusing. I mean, it could have used a little bit of less of a con and just more of a linear storyline.
Yeah.
But, hey, it is what it is. You know, it's kind of Chiba beating the heck out of people and getting the heck beat out of him.
I'm interested to see a version where it's not cut.
Yeah.
I do want to see, like, the actual, let's see some serious fighting, because they are known for being kind of like really brutal.
And there's the second one. I've seen a still from the second one where he punches a guy and his eyes pop out of his head. I couldn't find a good copy of that. I need to find a good copy because he's right behind the guy and he's like, look, he finished punching and his eyeballs are like popped out. Yeah, like boing, like bing bong balls.
And they do, these have always tread of that like almost ultra violent. But good, but not, they never push it too far, because...
Well, no, in the first one, when he rips off the guy's part...
Yeah, yeah, that's male anatomy. Insert tough. Male anatomy here.
That's tough.
It is tough, and he's nasty. You know, mm-hmm. he plays a really ugly, nasty guy. So it's, you know, what are you going to say?
It's prime Chiba.
Oh, it's prime Chiba, yeah. I'm kind of curious. I have to go and look up his. I didn't do enough homework on this one.
His chronology.
I'd like to.
Kamala.
I want to see, because I know the end. I know the, not the end, but I know the last couple. I know the first lot. What was he in the middle,
well,
man?
Well, he okay. In the later 60s, earlier 70s, he did his spy movie called like Gogol 13, Kowloon Assignment, which I'm trying to find an English version. I
know, because I love that storyline.
Yeah,
I really want to do that.
The spy or whatever. I think after that he went and did these. I did one called The Bodyguard also, which is ultra-violent.
Which is actually they remade to an 80s version, The Bodyguard. Which
yeah.
Is like that weird one with the...
And my friend saw this one later on called Sonny Chiba's Dragon Princess, which I think he played a samurai. He did samurai.
Dragon Princess, and then he also did the Legend of the Eight Samurai.
Yeah, he did samurai things, yeah.
So he's always been around, but I think he's done like a lot of serious stuff too. Which
like
we would know.
And stuff
I think
like
so.
That.
I mean, I could be wrong, but he's heralded as how we would talk about like Clint Eastwood or John Wayne. In Japan, he's Shiba-san.
Good.
And that's he's revered. He's a really good guy. Everyone loves him, you know.
Great stuff.
So yeah, definitely this is a huge recommend for me. If you love martial arts or Sonny Chiba or any of that kind of stuff, spy movies, whatever.
Check it out.
It's not the best of the Street Fighter, but hey, whatever.
It's good enough.
I'd say watch them all.
Yeah.
On a rainy Sunday.
Including Sister Street Fighter, which is good too. The girl at the beginning, she's good too. I forgot what her name was. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh, in that movie, Sister Street Fighter, our buddy QT steals a lot from that one too.
No kidding.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I'm just.
Just warning you, yeah.
I'm just not joking.
All right, that's it for this week. My name is Mal, with me as always.
Dr. Morbius.
And this has been Asian Cult Cinema on Radio St. Pete. And if you are just finding us through some, I know we got some new avenues opening up. Make sure you let us know. Shoot us an email at zenbone@hotmail.com. I know no one does that, but sometimes, you know. And let us know what you think.
Smoke signals, whatever you want.
Yeah, the telegraph.
Skywriting, watch, listen to Asian Cult Cinema.
Okay, that's enough of that. We're done. And we are out of Clearwater, Florida, so give us some love. See you next week, everyone, for... Ooh, I picked a good one for next week.
Oh, yeah, Lady...
Lady Ninja, Kunaki, Lady Ninja.
All right.
Wow.
Is it really good or is it silly?
It's both.
Okay.
See you next week, everyone.